Hey guys, welcome to Photography Insights, the show that goes behind the scenes and talks to people in the photography world. We're on episode 86 and I'm pleased to present you with a big guest. It is of course Mr. Stephen Dowling from Cosmo Photo. Most people know him either through his blog, Cosmo, previously known as Sorky, and some of you know him through his film. And of course, there'll be the odd person who knows him from his careers as a journalist. Steve's a very nice guy. We met last year at the photography show and had a nice walk around together. Because you get a better feel for someone, especially when you're meeting him in person and having a little bit of time together wandering around the stalls. It's really nice to talk with Stephen. You know, he's an educated man. His experience in the photography world, he's travelled to a lot of places around Russia and Eastern Bloc countries and a few other places too. He talks at great length about some of the interesting characters in the community, and the point of him talking about them is to say how good they are and what great things they're doing. He's not at all name dropping at all. He's literally just saying how important some of these people are. And we're talking to people like Jeremy at Japan Camera Hunter, Hamish Gale at 35mmc, of course M, everybody knows, Steve at Chroma Camera, Sam at Solar Cam, and Paul from Analog Wonderland, to name a few. Now, this is a one-off show. That's going to be an extra length special to cover us for the 2 weeks. The reason for doing that is it was a big catch up with Stephen. We had a lot to discuss, and obviously in normal times we wouldn't be discussing things like COVID. So we touched a little bit on COVID and how it's affected his life and the brand. And obviously the film too, because it's all an important part of what's going on at the minute. Now obviously we do talk of other things as well, and some of these are working remotely from home, spiders and red rooms, his important story from BBC last year, photo walks, blogging since 2012, shooting cats, first time developing film, street portraiture, Belarus Film Collective, Zorky and Fed Cameras, David Collier and The Guardian. Now, like I say, Stephen's such a nice guy that he talks at great length about some of the important people he's found through his blog. You know, we do occasionally swap leads, and I'm very appreciative to Stephen for passing on people like Dave, the Top Gun bio guy, to myself, and I've returned the favour with David Collier. I think this is what's something you'll see is quite important in our community, and we're all willing to help each other and push each other where we can. So he talks about people like Clément Marion, a young French gentleman shooting protests. And he also talks about a gentleman called Dokuma, who's shooting in the Himalayas, which is very interesting work. And of course we discussed David Collier and his hospital experience around COVID and shooting on film too. Now he does provide a pay it forward recommend, and that is for Rob Andrews from the London Camera Project. Anyone looking on the website or the show notes will get the links to all these wonderful people. So please do check them out. Stephen's film is very cost effective. You know, when you're saying under £5 for a film, you know, that is really nice. So please do check it out and support what he's doing. I think he's had a wonderful logo. I think it's a great packaging thing and marketing that he does. It's just a lovely thing, and it, you know, it's always fitted in with this sort of Eastern Europe and Russian vibe of cosmonauts. personally used it myself, and I'm just waiting for the negatives to come back. So fingers crossed on that. Remember, if you do like the show, please do leave a review, and please share with your friends as always. It's always appreciated. The numbers have slightly increased since the last episode, and partly some of that's due to something I've called Friends of the Show. I have discussed it in the past, so I'd like to do a shout out for Film Dev, who are the people I entrust all my film developing and scanning to, whether it's 120 black and white or C41. Do a great job every single time. It's been consistent, and you know, they've helped me tell me if I've had any problems with my rolls and advise me what to do. They are one of the cheapest out there as well. I'm really hesitant to tell everybody where they are, because it's nice to have this sort of secret company that do so great work, and they are well under the cost of what anyone else charges. And in fact, at the time of press, which is the 25th of May, they can't cope with anything more. So obviously that's great and bad in another way. But yes, they're one of my friends of the show that are helping spread the word about this podcast. And the other one is Pete Falkus at Static Age. Again, he's someone I totally admire. We're always chatting to each other. He does great things for other people, more importantly. He's not out there to earn money. He works with some great artists and is publishing some great designs. So please do check that out. And of course, there'll be links to these in the show notes and the website, as always. So, let's move you on to the show. Await our guest, Mr. Stephen Dowling from Cosmo, and see what he's got to say for himself. Thank you very much. And welcome to the show. Maybe I should have done sort of drum roll. But anyway, it's Steve from Cosmo Photo.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for joining us, mate.
No worries.
You know, I was thinking earlier, the last time we actually saw each other would have been the photography show.
Yes, well, the one that actually happened.
The real one.
About, 15 months ago. Yeah, so that was, I suppose that was the building blocks for what was supposed to happen in March, because you had Hamish and Steve Lloyd from Chroma there. And you had Sam from Solarcan with a spot, and I think Paul from Analog Wonderland was at Sam's pod as well, or what do you call it?
Yeah.
And yeah, it sort of felt kind of interesting that there was a bit of noise about analog stuff, and there was that walk that we all did. Mm. 40 or 50 of us, I think. Really good turnout.
It was fabulous, because obviously we all know each other. We've either all spoke for each other, wrote for each other, and then when we all finally get to see each other, I don't think you could beat that physical contact thing. And it was great. And I know I looked a tick because I had a problem with my eye at the time, so the photo's not exactly great, but I'll always remember it.
Yeah, it is the sort of way in which we're interacting. I mean, there are, you know, people like Bellamy Hunt, who runs Japan Camera Hunter, who I've, I talk to most days about something or other. I never actually met him because he lives in Japan, and, you know, the times he has been back to the UK, he's not been able to pop into London, so
yeah,
that is it's weird how you can form these, you know, great lasting friendships. But you know, they're at the end of a Facebook messenger or email or chat or whatever.
And I think that was a great opportunity where I think you get some more mannerisms face to face, and you can actually see the reality of people. And obviously, it's not about you just giving things away, because you'll get them people that rush to the front, and I just stood back, and it's like, let's just take this in. Who's here? And obviously, I recognize yourself. I never realized Paul was so young. That was really cool.
Yeah.
He's
definitely one of the younger end of the spectrum, though.
Which is great.
Having said that, I don't know how old Paul is. So, you know, he just could be one of those youthful looking people who's taking some complicated set of supplements to keep him looking in the glow of youth.
Maybe that's tomorrow's quest we should go on.
Maybe. But no, I think Paul's definitely a lot younger than us.
I think it was really good to get us all together. It was the first time I got to see Steve from Chrome in person. I love Scouse accent. I have a mutual love of Liverpool Football Club since I was a very young boy. So me and him got on so bloody well. And in the end, we just walked around together for quite a while. And then there was this guy hanging around with us called John Whitmore. And I was like, I didn't know it about him at the time. But obviously, as this year's gone, it's like, God, he's a talented guy. Isn't he, in the dark room? I mean, he's everywhere now.
Yeah. It's such a shame that that event didn't happen in March. I mean, obviously it was postponed for all the right reasons, because we found ourselves sort of suddenly in a very public health crisis. But you know, there was a real momentum even in the year between last year's photography show and March this year. I just think there's so much more interest in film. There's so much more energy coming from those bigger players, such as Kodak Kodak Alaris, sorry, Brandon, and Ilford. I just think it's a bit of a shame that it wasn't sort of capitalized on. I know at the moment the organizers are saying it will happen in September, but I'm hopeful, but I'm not expecting it to take place. I think the next photography show might not happen until next year. We need to see what's happening in terms of, like, you know, health and state of the country.
I don't want to be in a room with thousands of people and at risk. So, and I'm sure you don't either.
No, it just doesn't seem very seemly to be saying to people, "Oh, come and buy stuff and pockets," in a building where 40,000 other people are going to be just after. There's been a pandemic. Now that is, you know, if we are in a situation that looks pretty much like this, if you know, fingers crossed, things are a lot better, then let's see how things are. But
no, that's fair enough. I mean, for anyone listening, so we're actually recording this on the 25th of May. We are still in lockdown. We're not officially in the same lockdown as we were a month ago. It's a little bit more relaxed. But the thing is, you can't not think about COVID at the minute. It's still in our minds. It's still around Europe. We can see it's happening in South America now, places like India. What's it been like for you, Steve, for work, for home and film?
So It's meant big changes. I mean, I outside of Cosmophoto, I have a day job. I work at the BBC on a science website. And the week before the lockdown actually took effect, so that was the week before the photography show was supposed to happen. Work told us to, you know, take our stuff home. We were going to have a trial week of getting everyone to work from home. Lo and behold, that was the last week I was in the office, and that was mid-March. So I've had 10 odd weeks of working from home, as has my wife. Right on cue. The cat has been loving it, because the cat is one of those cats that really likes company. She's just come to join me. We've sort of had to navigate like working from home, which I think we've done okay with. I live in London, and I live in South East London, but I work in West London, so that means I have like a reasonably long commute. On the plus side, not having to travel for 3 hours a day is quite nice. In a sort of cramped and crowded tube network. In terms of Cosmophoto, definitely had a big negative effect in terms of film sales. Completely understandably, the retailers, you know, the shops that I would normally be selling to, a lot of them had not been open, so they've not been able to buy film. My distributors, it's been quieter. They've still been ordering, but definitely quieter. I have certain items like the T-shirts and the film cases and the sort of presentation boxes, gift sets, that are only available through my shop, as a way of sort of getting people to visit the blog and visit the shop. That's been almost nothing. It's only really turned around in the last week or so, after about 10 weeks. So, yeah, it's been terrible, without wanting that to sound over, but not terrible enough that I'm giving it up. It's just meant that I've had to sort of concentrate on other things, and had some plans that are around about now I was probably going to be announcing, but they're not going to happen. Not for 2021, I don't think. Just because it's just taken a massive bite out of like capacity to make things, because, you know, some of the big producers have stopped making film. You know, as we were discussing earlier before recording, like the labs have been closed. And, you know, things are going to take a while to get back to normal. And, you know, the uncertainty that a lot of people have at the moment in terms of, you know, have they been furloughed or made redundant? You know, do they have the money to spend on luxuries like film and development? Which, you know, we have to realize sometimes it's a luxury. It's not, you know, a basic necessity like food and rent and utilities and stuff like that. So it's been interesting, to use the old Chinese curse, an interesting time. I mean, I work at a BBC science site, and tail end of 2018, I edited a series that looked at it was marking the 100th anniversary of the Spanish flu, which was obviously like the big pandemic of the 20th century. Little did I know that, like, a little more than a year afterwards, I'd be living through the most significant pandemic, the Spanish flu. you know, touch wood, and not making light of it, given that, you know, the death toll in the UK alone has been risen up to 36,000. I'm healthy and I think I got it quite early on, but very thankfully it was pretty mild. It's history book stuff where we're in a global pandemic that's reached pretty much every corner of the earth, and you know, of course every aspect of like our lives has changed. You know, a lot of it will remain changed for a long time. So the dovetails into, you know, things like our hobbies and our interests, and you know, little brands like myself. I also run with Rob Andrews, who runs London Camera Project on Instagram. We do photo walks aimed at film photographers, which is, I think we've only done about four or five so far. We started them last summer, but we were really looking at gearing them up this year and doing like two a month. Or, you know, certainly March to October maybe. That's gone. I mean, I'd be surprised if we can do any walks before September, and even then I'd be not sure we could get them done. And you know, people are like champing at the bit to do them, but it's like, well, I don't want to be responsible for passing a disease on to somebody that, you know, they then pass on to people in their family or, you know, the people they live with. So you just got to be sensible. So for us, that's meant, you know, absolutely no plans to do photo walks until the situation looks a lot different.
I think it's the same for many, to be honest, because none of us want to be out there. Like you say, the safety aspect.
So yeah, it's been a challenging first 6 months of the year, and you know, I think what I'm trying to get across is I'm keenly aware that it's not just something that's affecting me. Even if I'm going to talk in terms of something as sort of inconsequential in the grand scheme of things is like film photography. I know that, you know, people like Steve at Chroma Camera and Bellamy at Japan Camera Hunter, they're all feeling it. I mean, I know Hamish Gill has had further delays to finishing up his Pixelator, which, I mean, I know he was super keen to have that out to everyone by now, but when the places who are manufacturing the components are closed because of a pandemic, not much you can do, really, is there?
No, I think you've just got to chill out this year and not worry about luxuries.
And so I'm pretty understanding. I was just chatting to my distributor in Asia today, and they're just like, we're not putting an order in at the moment because, you know, the shops that we deal with aren't ordering yet. So I get angry about that stuff. You've just gotta, you know, accept it and then just see what else is out there.
Yeah, I mean, that, as they always say, time is a healer.
Yeah.
And, you know, things have already changed. You know, if we go back to the beginning of March, like when you were saying, everything was never been done before. We didn't know what we were doing. Like I say, we literally just went home one day, didn't we, with our gear and so to see if you can cope. My industry was simple. We'd done it for years here and there, so it wasn't a problem. But matter of business was crazy for us. I lost my focus because I was physically exhausted at the end. Mentally exhausted at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Which is why I stopped all photography.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could say no one was interested in photography, let alone buying any Cosmo film.
No, absolutely. And exactly right. I mean, you know, you sort of, you get that window into, you know, everyone's lives through social media, you know, Instagram or Facebook and Twitter, and it's the most interesting in times like this because you see people grappling with, like, really, really big stuff, you know. Yeah. And, you know, especially with, you know, like your good self, I don't have kids, so I don't have that added spectrum of, oh, I've, you know, got to help with homeschooling or just make sure that kids are, you know, are okay with a pretty seismic change to lives. So, yeah, it's annoying. I'd love to be, you know, have sold several thousand more rolls of film.
But, of course you would, yeah.
I'm more grateful that, you know, myself and my wife are healthy and my friends are okay and, you know, lucky in that sense. So as long as that continues, then all the other stuff can dovetail into that when it can.
And I think that's really nice of you to be so honest and thoughtful in that respect, because it'd be so easy for someone just to start promoting themselves even more through this sort of time.
Yeah.
Because what else can they do? And for some of us, it's like, I'm sorry, but I'm not interested in buying anything.
Oh, so, and I did that too. I mean,
it's hard, isn't it?
I thought, oh God, you know, I'd spent a great deal of money on the photography show, which to give credit to the organisers, they did refund who were in the analog spotlight, or those of us who asked. But for a while there, it was like, well, I'm quite seriously down some money. So I did, you know, for the first few weeks, just say, look, there's a 20% sale on everything in the shop.
Yeah.
And that did tide me over a little bit. But I realized that I couldn't keep doing that. And that was also in March when it looked like, you know, or maybe we might be doing this for a month. And then as soon as we sort of started getting into April, and realizing it was a lot more serious, then I didn't have anything like that on the shop. I just, like, people bought something, then great, but I wasn't actively promoting anything. I just focused on writing stuff for the blog, you know, primarily as a distraction for myself. I started the blog in 2012, and it's really only the last couple of years that it's really started being that iteration of what I wanted. A broader mix of content on there, and reviews and stories from other people and interviews with people. So it's actually been a good use of my time to just sort of devote to, like, doing things with the blog, setting up interviews, like going, well, I've always meant to, like, get in touch with such and such a person and ask them to do something, or you know, right, okay, which one of these cameras that, you know, I bought off eBay and then sat in the cupboard for 5 years, okay, I need to actually stick some rolls of film through them. My government sanctioned one walk a day the last few months. I have been tending to take a camera with me, and that is you know, that is a real pleasure, to even just go for a half hour, 45 minute walk.
Yeah.
and rattle off half a roll of film with something in a camera, without really wanting to take pictures of anything specifically, but just to use those muscles and keep them moving. Just like I know as a journalist, if I don't write anything for ages, then when it comes to writing something else, maybe doesn't flow as freely. Well, it's the same thing with pictures. There's been a few times in my life when, for whatever reason, I was not able to take pictures as much, or not motivated, not happy, whatever. When you first go back to it, it is a bit like wading through treacle, and you maybe not seeing things in the right way, or the way that you are when you're a bit more immersed in it. It's just been good for my mental health just to like wander around my neighborhood with a camera, taking pictures of the local cats, or the skyline from Greenwich Park, or whatever. That stuff that it just becomes part of the backdrop to everyday life, but it's all different now because the air is cleaner, or there's nobody in Greenwich Park, which is usually packed. I mean, it's starting to be more people there now because the lockdowns are starting to be relaxed a little, but every aspect of like surroundings has completely changed at the moment. And so I'm actually planning on writing something for the blog about the idea of like capturing this now, and not as a sort of like great photojournalism, but just like a citizen living through its act of taking pictures, just as I'm sure there were plenty of people with their Kodak vest pockets or brownies taking pictures during the Spanish influenza.
Yeah. Or the Blitz, or
civil rights in the USA, all that stuff, but not actually going through it now, waiting until things are back to normal and then starting to look through it and realizing those big differences from how things were for the 3, 6, 9 months that we're living through it. I just think slow photography is really good for that, because we're getting those hits every day through social media or news. And, there has been some amazing photojournalism out of like the changes to society. But there's other stuff that, we're not mentally processing all of the changes in real time. And sometimes it takes a while for that stuff to just settle in your head. And I think slow photography, whether it be, shooting it digitally or on film, but just taking that extra time before you edit it or develop it or whatever you're doing, I think is kind of an interesting little project. So, I've got a Tupperware box full of rolls I've just been shooting. And I should emphasize this is like not any way, shape or form anything serious. Because I've been shooting it on all sorts of old cameras, and it's everything from cross-process slide to expired black and white to some of my own film to whatever.
Yeah,
but that's what I'd be shooting anyway. So I want it to look like the stuff I'd normally shooting.
Yeah,
I'd normally be shooting. It's just that everything has changed.
Yeah.
So it's just. It would be nice to just leave that stuff in the fridge for a few months and then look at it with some fresh eyes somewhere down the road.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's affected us in that sense, and some of us have been able to do a bit of photography. For me, it's been a case of getting into dark room doing something different with my daughters for a change. So going in there with my daughters has been fantastic because I found that enthusiasm again. And, you know, even my youngest said to me today, 8 years old, she's like, are you going in the dark room tomorrow night? Maybe the night after? And you're like, wow. And she's absolutely afraid of dark spaces and spiders. I mean, she won't set foot in them. And she went in.
Brilliant.
And it was ace. And she's working out the timing for me. And then she's telling me off when I'm doing stuff wrong. So
the bug has bit.
Yeah. It's really good because I was given some paper by a sister-in-law. So I was like, right, let's get using some of this. I'd shot a couple of rolls of black and white recently, and it's something I haven't done in 3 years. Because I thought I didn't know how to shoot black and white. Literally, I just...
What were you shooting before? Just colour and egg? Or...
Yeah, just colour and egg for quite a while now. And when I got these scanned, I was like, actually, they're really nice. Maybe I can actually take a picture. And then when I printed them, I was like, God, these are amazing. Because obviously all the prints I'm doing have to be from a colour and egg.
Mm.
So making that as a black and white photo, you lose a bit of tone in that.
Yeah, it's... I've seen some really nice stuff from... Oh, God. Someone was shooting Color Plus and then... So not just putting it into Lightroom or Photoshop and turning it into a mono, but actually... getting the dark room and making black and white prints from it. I can't remember the name of it, name of the person who did it. But, I mean, there's nothing to stop you, like, just making dark room prints or even sort of slightly, you know, tinted prints using colour film. Because, I mean, there used to be those in the early days of the sort of chromogenic black and white films where, you know, the ones that could be developed in a C41 machine. So now you've got stuff like the Ilford's, is it FP4?
Mm-hmm.
There was the Kodak one.
Oh, do you mean XP2?
XP2, sorry, yeah. XP2, and there was the Kodak one, the 400, that was really, really good. But before that, there were ones I remember trying in the 90s that was like, every time I got them back from the lab, there'd be a different color. Sepia or purple or green, or it's just like, it's just supposed to be black and white. What the hell is going on here?
Okay, I see what you mean, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we were discussing earlier that it can be hard for people to focus. I've found it myself, and I've actually found the blog quite a good antidote to that, because it's like I can have a schedule of things. Like, oh, I should do one of these posts, or I should, you know, run this post by so and so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm aware that we only have so much sort of petrol in the tank to be doing everything we're doing and sort of leaving some energy to process the situation we find ourselves in, because it's something that's constantly there in the background. So, you know, like it or not, we're thinking about it in the background as well. And so you got to give yourself a little bit of reserves to sort of make sure you don't crash. But yeah, it was my birthday a few weeks ago, and my present from my wife was the lab box.
Wicked.
The daylight tank, because tender age of 47, I've never actually developed a roll of film. I've always had labs develop it. I used to live in a shared flat, big shared flat in a crazy old building in Kilburn. That used to be a hotel. And it had a couple of sort of almost light tight bathrooms that would have been the perfect place for me to like develop films. But I just, for whatever reason, I didn't do it. But thanks to this lab box that Azamago released a couple of years ago, something I can do, you know, just on the in the kitchen. So that's my summer project, is to buy some cams and, you know, the clips so I can hang them up in the shower and develop some of my own black and white films to start, which will be interesting. So
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I may not have learned a language by the end of the summer or, you know, written a novel, but I will have developed some film.
No, that's cool. I understand that. It's different for me because, you know, I've not been in it that long, but I've tried everything really just to try it. And I find that the worst part. I'd far rather be in the dark room. I won't say I'm fantastic at that, but I've learned a lot. And when I get someone who can explain something simple enough, it goes in and then I'm fine. I mean, I talk about this moment loads of times. I learned low key photography in a 3-minute conversation with a friend. And I've taught numerous people how to do it.
Well, they obviously explained it well.
Yeah. It's great because it changed me as a person.
Yeah.
I'd never done so much portraiture after then. And I can organize shoots with models, and we've gone the high street. I shot film at night with flash. There is no boundaries now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about how even doing a handful of photo walks and just you know, the people who are taking part in that, some of them have literally like just got a camera, so it might have been dads or aunties or, you know, mums or whatever, through to people who are like people like myself who have been shooting for ages and
just a few years.
Yeah. And so it's nice to have that you know, varying levels of experience, but also just the way people shoot. You know, Rob, who I do them with, he's an absolute master at just walking up to people and taking street portraits in the street. No. I mean, he's considerably taller than I don't know if you've met Rob, but yeah, you're not going to say no to him. he's quite an imposing figure. Right. Lovely man, but he's an imposing figure. But you know, he just has that easiness around people, and I'd love to take more sort of street portraits. So on the most recent walks, that's what I've been doing, is just saying to people, do you mind if I take a picture of you? And it's really hard to do that to strangers the first 5 to 10 times you do it. So you just got to find a way of getting those 5 to 10 first times out of the way, and then it becomes easier and easier, I think.
Mm.
And yeah, it's, I mean, that's the great thing about photography. A mate of mine is, we worked on a book project together, and he sort of helped me with various stuff. He's an incredibly experienced photographer, commercial photographer. I mean, he said there's loads of stuff that, like, if pretty much every week there'll be something that I'll try that's like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. Or even with film. So, you know, I've been shooting film since I was 15. It's nearly 40 years ago.
Hmm.
I haven't tried that before. He said there's just so many ways of doing it and so many things like you can try and so many techniques and like you will never be bored in photography.
No. And I think the thing is though, you've got the good attitude, because you find some people that have been doing it a long time, they don't think they know it all, but they have this thing where someone new suggests something, it's like, no, you can't do that.
And like, I did a story on Facebook after seeing something on Reddit where all these kids were like really confused about the red room that I forget the name of the character that goes into to sort of process the photos that he takes on a film camera. It's like, why does he have to go into that red room? It's like, and it's like, you can sort of like go, oh, millennials.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, if you've never
if
you've never seen a dark room before, and you're too young to have like really grown up with you know, film being the medium you shot photographs on, that's an entirely correct response. What the fuck is that? Like,
yeah.
And it made me laugh, and I got a story out of it. But it's, you know, I think what I've learned through, I think a good sort of cheerleader for this is what M does on Emulsive, is just sort of getting rid of that, like, bad camera photography forum, you know. Oh, I can't believe you asked that question. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's interesting that what people like M do. I really like it because, like you say, it seems to be anyone can write, and there are so many varied, you know, it's not just why I shot film. Did you know you could do this? And you can learn so much.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many gateways into like film photography or photography in general, and everyone's experiences are relevant, because I think if you're running a blog, especially like a film photography blog, if I think back to what I was doing when I first started it, it was as a way of showcasing my own photography, or, you know, grand as that sounds, or writing about the cameras I used. But that's such a fraction of what it is now, because it's all about, you know, what are other people doing? You know, people like David Collier, who you introduced me to the other week, through to, you know, well, I'm doing this, but somebody else is doing something completely different, like with a different camera, or doing something interesting with their film. So, you know, that's equally relevant. I did a talk in Belarus just before Christmas with a photo collective there. I'd gone there for just a break with a mate. We're both interested in that part of the world. He used to live in Moscow, and I just got in touch with this sort of collective who develop film and sell cameras and run courses, and they were super super keen to have me come along and give a talk about Cosmophoto. They knew about the blog and knew about the film, and what I said to them, just because, you know, it's something I think maybe I was seeing more of it because I, you know, on Flickr or Instagram, I'd be putting in tags that maybe, you know, Russian or East European photographers are tagging their stuff with. But I've just seen so many great photos from like young Russian, East European film photographers, like documenting their lives on like old Soviet cameras, but documenting their lives in the 21st century. And it's just amazing. Like, there's these really talented kids shooting on old Zenits and Zorkis and Feds, and like really giving this beautiful like insight into, you know, what it's like living in these countries now, like 30 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And I said, I remember saying to these kids is, you know, the, one of the great things about the rise of like social networks and especially things like Instagram and Twitter and Facebook to a certain extent is that you no longer just have to be in places like New York and London and Paris and Tokyo to be noticed.
Yeah.
And what I said to them is if you're, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, if you're shooting film and putting it on one of these networks where other people can see it, you're an ambassador for film. Like,
yeah.
Your view and experience with that film is as relevant as anyone else's. And you're doing what any kind of great photography does, which is or great photography itself. You're just showing the rest of the world how the planet looks, or how, you know, how the world looks through your eyes. And I think that's a really nice aspect of like that sort of digital environment that we're able to upload our pictures into. It's really great, like that you can, you know, see what life is like in a Russian city in the Arctic Circle in the middle of December because somebody's taken granddad's old Zenit out and shot a few rolls of film on it, got it developed and put it on Flickr or Instagram.
Yeah, you're right. It is just amazing that we can do that. And the thing is, though, what you do in your garden is probably just as interesting to them,
yeah,
as what it's to us, isn't it? And that's where you've got to think. It never matters.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think we're all, not all of us, but I think a lot of people are like endlessly curious about how other people live. Such a different viewpoint because I mean, you know, there's been great journalism coming out of the coverage. There's an amazing BBC, I think it was in the 10 o'clock with the health correspondent in the South London ward just showing what was happening. That was just brilliant. It'll be one of the TV bulletins I remember for the rest of my life. But but David's stuff is different. The body language is different around him. He's capturing it as an insider, which is just so much more interesting in some ways. I hope that project like keeps him busy going around the world, getting awards for it for the next 20 years.
I do, yeah. Yeah, he's already had some very interesting things that are happening to him, and I'm sure we'll all hear about him officially in due course.
You know, David's in his early 50s, isn't he? It's just...
Yeah.
You know, that maybe if he was 25, that project might not have been carried off the same way. Part of it is that virtue of like that experience he's had.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of skill set he's built up, that eye that he's honed, that, you know, maturity or wisdom he's got to just sort of sit back and know the right time to press the shutter and the times when not to do it. Yeah. I mean, when you sent me that link to his stuff, I was just like, okay, well, this is going to be important. So I was certainly not surprised to see The Guardian pick it up or put it on the front page. It's got a timelessness to it that I think quite refreshing. I mean, you know, there's obviously so much great visual journalism being done at the moment. And it's great that something, you know, something taken on a compact camera, a compact film camera, get on the front page of The Guardian. It's fucking great.
It is, yeah. You know, there's so many ironies there. It's great.
I wish my Tani was still alive and could see that, you know, a newspaper was running something taken on an XA3. It's not even the XA, which was like, you know, the XA owners would sort of sneer at the people who use the XA2 for not being quick enough to move the rangefinder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant work. And, you know, there's a young French photographer, Clément, find his surname. I interviewed him for the blog last year because he just went out during the yellow vest protests. Just took these amazing black and white film pics. Clément Marion. Have a look at his stuff from the Paris protest last year, where he just waded out into the protest and just took these amazing, like, pushed black and white images that look like the end of the world. Wow. And he's 21 or something. So somebody who's, I suppose, the opposite end of David's experience, and just going, well, this is new and this is interesting. I'm just going to throw myself into it. He shared them on a Facebook group, and I just remember seeing them and going, I have to write about this. This stuff is absolutely amazing. So I've kept in touch with him and super interested to see what he does. I don't think he's even started work yet. I think he's still in his photographic.
Jesus. I think this is what's so exciting, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there are people, you know, there are people like Steven Spielberg who make incredibly, like, visually incredible films in their mid-20s because they just, they have that knack. They can see stuff in their head and translate it onto the screen. And I think, you know, there are people who have that with stills photography as well. That's not me. That's not my experience. I had to massively develop my eye. I don't think you can. It's a bit like writing. I don't think you can be. You can turn somebody who has no talent into a great photographer. You can turn somebody who's an average photographer into a pretty good photographer.
Yeah.
And turn a good photographer into a great photographer, but you've got to have that eye, and some semblance of that eye there in the first place. And yeah, I mean, Clément is absolutely somebody who's going to do great stuff again in the future.
That's cool. And it's always nice to hear people like that.
I'm just, you know, that's something I want to do more with the blog. I mean, for a while I had two blogs until I realized, you know, running two blogs was just a crazy idea, and folded the other one into Cosmophoto. And the other blog was called World on Film. And basically, what that was just getting people to write about a place that they had taken photographs of.
I remember this.
Whether it be at home or some place they traveled. So it was always like, you know, place and camera. So, you know, New York on a Leica M6 or Moscow on a Zenit E or, you know, Indian Railways on a roller cord or whatever. And one guy who I put a call out for stories. I think I had about 20. I didn't really look at them until like a couple of weeks before the blog was launched. And there was a guy from Singapore called Nanda Kumar, Nandakuma Narasimhan, but most people call him Nanda. And he'd been in the Himalayan mountains in winter taking pictures of just the local people. And he just traveled around in the middle of winter in the Himalayas with medium format cameras, including a Pentax 6.7. And I'm not exaggerating. Those pictures he took that he just sent me for a blog that hadn't even started yet, and about maybe 3,500 words of text about the whole journey. Yeah. National Geographic level of incredible portraiture. And entirely self-funded. That's, you know, that he said, when I travel, I want to go interesting places and take pictures of people. So he's done similar things in like northern Russia, and another big project on like traveling around steam trains in India. So he's ethnically Indian, but grew up in Singapore, and sort of mid-30s, I think. Yeah, just absolutely one of the best photographers I've ever encountered, just for the absolute mastery of his photographic eye, and just a really, really lovely guy. My wife and I went on honeymoon at the end of 2018, and we went to Singapore because we were spending most of it in Borneo. So I actually got to meet Nanda. He took us out for drink.
That's nice.
And yeah, it was just like, we just basically sat talking about cameras all night. For putting up with that. But yeah, just like just a wonderful photographer. So I'm anything he does, any project he's working on, I'm just like, I just want to run your stuff. Yeah, have a look on Cosmophoto, because the first piece that he did for me in 2018, 2017, that's already been that was published on World on Film, and then when World on Film closed, I folded it into Cosmophoto, and I republished that piece.
Mm-hmm.
A follow up, which is again just like incredible portraiture and like environmental portraiture as well, in like these villages which are almost cut off from the rest of the world during the winter months, and like in Indian Himalayas, so not far from the Chinese border. Just really, really good work, and it just shows you that you know, you would be really struggling to use digital cameras in an environment like that, because of the battery drain, or, you know, let's be honest, you know, things like F5s or Canon EOS ones, they'd struggle because the
battery electronics, yeah,
so quickly. But you know, that with stuff like Pentax 6.7s, it's just like you just take them out and they'll run. I mean, the only problem is you're finding a way to change the film, he said, because it was so cold that if the film was exposed to the outside temperatures too long, it would just snap. So he said he had to change film on the cameras under his jacket usually.
Wow.
If he wasn't able to get into a house or a car. And shooting stuff on tripods as well. So it wasn't like off the cuff street photography. Some of it is like very considered, almost like landscape photography. So yeah, check it out. He has two posts on Cosmophoto, and they're related to his site and other work on there, because he's one to watch. I hope at some point he's way too famous to write for Cosmophoto anymore.
Yeah, no,
deserves it.
That sounds really good, really, really good. I love these sort of people. Well, I think what I'm going to do is take you into a couple of my infamous random questions.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for your random question?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So I come up with a good one for you today. Hong Kong created tear gas ice cream to remind people of their commitment in the past few months. What flavour would yours be?
To remind me of the last few months? Or
yeah, or a commitment, a strong commitment in your life. So, for example, I would have mine dosed in a little bit of poverty with a little bit of lemon.
Okay, poverty and lemon. That's almost a sorbet, isn't it? Rather than ice
cream. Yeah. What? Well, I'm lactose tolerant, so.
Okay, right. No, good. Good answer there. What would mine be? It would. Oh, that's a really good question. Well, it wouldn't be the smell or taste of the underground, because I haven't been able to use it for the last 10 weeks. So, if you could translate. Yeah, mine would be sort of home comfort and
oh, that's good. Yeah, home comforts.
It'd be the sort of like security of being able to like work in my house, and but with the faint like taste of impending doom and. And end of civilization.
So similar to tear gas ice cream, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Because it's never going to be a great experience, is it?
No. And then there's all those things that they use to take the sting out of tear gas, like milk is apparently
deadly. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Is it an antacid or something?
For those people, is going to be loaded with all sorts of, or the smell of milk is going to be loaded with all sorts of, like, strange reactions. You know, just if you link certain foods that remind you of periods of your life when you were a kid, either for good reasons or bad reasons, they're just, there's so much when you taste them again that it's like, it's quite transporting. Yeah. Okay, that one threw me.
Cool. Which of these two will be invented first? Dyson inventing the rainbow Hoover, so it can suck up all the rainbows,
right?
Or Leica making a full light spectrum camera.
Full light spectrum camera. I mean, I don't know what Dyson is up to at the moment, because he's just spunked all his money, well, not all his money, but a sizable amount on an electric car, which he's now not going to take to market because there's so many other people who are further ahead of him. So what's the point?
Mm.
So, you know, maybe rainbow Hoovers are the second option. Full light spectrum for Leica, meaning what exactly?
So you can do infrared and X-ray.
Well, haven't they got one of their digital cameras that has a red filter infrared function already? Or a hack that could be done on one of them?
Yeah, but you could do it on a lot of digital, can't you? You can have one of the layers taken off.
Yeah.
But that will still only give you that end of the spectrum.
Yeah, okay. Well.
And there's all UV as well, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, the gnomes of lights are capable of many things, including finding people stupid enough to spend $7,000 on a camera body without without a lens attached.
Maybe this should be our prank. Save it up.
What, for next year?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've never done an April Fool's customer photo.
No, okay.
But I was going to do one this April, and then it just didn't seem like the right time, 1st of April this year. But I've got an absolute corker, which I'm going to roll out next year, which I'm not.
Oh, wicked.
I
look forward to that.
Cannot wait to roll it out. And it's not going to be anything like the incredibly stupid one that was rolled out by a certain blog a couple of years ago that I won't name, that said that Portra 400 was being withdrawn, and that if you wanted some, then you'd have to buy it quickly. And this blog was making money off affiliate links on an April Fool's story.
That is a bit naughty.
It's very naughty. But I won't name it just in case.
Fair enough. Okay, that was obviously before my time.
I'm sure that the people who already know. Put it that way.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so. There are many famous children's books and stories, like Little Red Riding Hood or Jack and the Beanstalk. Which of these would you re-edit and put a different spin on it? E.g. turn the wolf into a vampire, for
instance. Okay. I'm trying to think of the one that I read a lot. Are you giving me a short list, or I can come up with any?
No, you can come up with your own, that's fine. It'll be probably one that means more to you.
I'm thinking of the ones that I used to read a lot as a kid. That's a really, really, really good one. God, kid stories. I remember the Dr. Seuss stories. The Lorax was one that really stayed with me, which is the environmental one with all the forests being cut down.
I don't think I've heard that.
Lorax, yeah, it's really dark. I mean, Dr. Seuss stuff was obviously had quite a few layers to it. The Lorax is set in this, the character, the Lorax, lives in this sort of bucolic rural setting with loads of forests, and then the factories start up and all the forests are knocked down. It's pretty cool. So I'd probably include some, you know, action plan for how to replant the world's forests and
save the world.
Well, you know, get the kids motivated at the age of 5 or 6 or whatever to try and help, like, stem climate change, which is sort of off the agenda at the moment because we've got more pressing things on our minds, like, you know, keeping our parents and grandparents alive in the middle of the pandemic. But it's, tell you what, when we're back to normal, that's something else that has to be given a bit of grey matter to.
Oh, God, yeah. And Brexit and flooding. Caused us.
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah, there's so many. Okay, so your next one. You get to order your own alternative superpower. So you've got resting bitch face, consummate critique, and nosy Parker. What would you choose?
Well, yeah, I think Nosy Parker, because I'm a journalist.
Very fitting.
And it's kind of a, you've either got it or you haven't. So, yeah, I'd go for the Nosy Parker, because I'm always I'm always interested in and why stuff is being done a certain way, or, you know, who's that? What's that? Why is that happening over there? Which is, I think why I got into journalism. I think it's a license to be nosy.
I'll have to remember that. Could I have a job? My wife would love that.
We're not hiring at the moment.
Yeah. I wonder why.
There's a hiring freeze.
Your last one then. So you're celebrating your granddad's 90th birthday,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to spend it doing something with you.
Yeah.
It's either a strip joint, smoking weed, or a bungee jump. What do you choose?
Right. Okay. Well, probably not a bungee jump at that age, because I've done one, and they certainly make you feel like you're about to die. So,
okay.
You know, just for a few seconds. I think probably smoke weed. I'll give the family friendly. Well, the reasonably family friendly. I mean, strip clubs are legal, obviously, but you know, weed is losing its sort of reefer madness reputation as the 21st century grinds on. So yeah, I mean, I grew up in New Zealand, so I'm. What can I say? I'm familiar with the smell of it.
I'm bungee jumping.
And I've done a bungee jump, which was invented in New Zealand.
It was invented there, wasn't it? Yeah.
I did it in the place it was invented as well.
Yeah, that's I've been there. God, I can't remember.
Railway bridge over the river.
Yeah.
Old railway bridge. And yeah, it's definitely interesting. You do feel like you've just thrown yourself off. Story, 10-story building, and it must be what it's like when you fall from a great height. But I'm still here.
Yes, thankfully.
Yeah. Helping keep a certain European film producer a little more in business.
I thought it was all made in your shed, you lying sod.
My shed is definitely not a film zone. It's far too damp and full of spiders.
Oh well, definitely not going then.
No, it sounds like your daughter would definitely not like it.
No, definitely not. That's sort of, you decide what you want to do depending if it's A, dark, there's spiders, whether there's sweets, that sort of thing. So, but she honestly, she's up for anything. She's very much a go over there, go do that, go jump here. Right, okay, let me try it. She's amazing.
As long as it's in the light and a spider-free zone.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to abide by her rules. She's a woman.
It's good. It's good to have these parameters.
Yes,
especially like demarcate them as quickly as you can.
Well, imagine what they'll be when she's a teenager, though.
Well, yeah. Well, you've got what, 5 years to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, I'm thinking of heavily going into the dark room then. Permanently for about 5 years.
I'm sure it won't be that bad.
No, I'm hoping not. But two daughters within a year of each other.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's not gonna be the best. I mean, she already doesn't like me hugging her. They already say I annoy them already, so.
Well, you know, you're gonna have to start setting up photo walks or something.
Yeah.
Get you out of the house, out of their hair.
Yeah, definitely. I'll do that. So thank you for persevering with them anyway, Steve. That was great.
That's all right.
So we always like to give people a chance to tell everyone where we can check them out. I know it's obviously you're so very well known. If anyone doesn't know you, I don't know where they've been in the last sort of 10 years.
Well, okay. Well, the first place to go would be Cosmo, which is K-O-S-M-O-F-O-T-O .com, which is the blog. And so that's where all the stories, the Cosmo Photo stories, reviews, interviews, new stories are. And also where you can buy the film and a load of sort of special items that are only available through the shop, like T-shirts and gift boxes and things like that. They can also contact me on Facebook. There's a Cosmo Photo page. Instagram, Cosmo Photo. Twitter, Cosmo Photo. And just to make things different, on Flickr, I'm Stephen Dowling, which is my my real name. And that's Stephen with a PH, because I had a Flickr account in something like 2005, 2006. So it was a long time before the idea for Cosmo Photo came about. And yeah, if anyone reads Cosmo Photo and decides that they want to contribute something for the blog, then there's details on the site. There's a contact contact page. They can just send me an email. The address is there. And, you know, review a camera or, you know, a World on Film post if they want to, where they can talk about a place they've shot on film, talk about the place and the camera they shot it on, or just, you know, maybe an opinion piece of why they think color film will live for another 200 years or whatever. Yeah, just hit me with an email and a story idea, and I'll get back to you.
No, that's cool. Thank you for that. So the last thing then is obviously like this pay it forward scheme. Have you anyone you'd like to come on the show? Maybe someone slightly different to anyone else? Anyone you can think of? Or
well, I've already mentioned two photographers I've interviewed who I think are great. That's Nandakumar Narasimhan and Clement Marion, who've been featured on the site. But my pay it forward will be Rob Andrews, who runs the Instagram account London Camera Project. And I met him for the first time at the photography show last year. We kept in touch because we both live in London. And then I went along to one of his photo walks, which he does. And then we hit upon the idea of doing them together. So we run Cosmonaut Walks, which is Rob, who's an absolute master at doing photo walks, and myself. It's a paid walk, but you get a roll of Cosmo Photo film to kick things off with. And then when we're stopping for a refreshment, which is, let's be honest, usually a pub, there are little spot prizes. So we usually bring little treats and things that we find in our fridges or freezers, or, you know, box of odds and ends. So we've been doing those since last summer. And Rob's just full of interesting ideas and would be a good person to have on the show. So yeah, that'd be my pay it forward. I think you should be interviewing Rob from London Camera Project.
Thank you very much. So thanks again for coming on, Steve. It's always nice to have someone like you. I mean, it was nice meeting you last year. I remember you writing at the turn of the year saying how well your blog had done. And obviously you mentioned the article I wrote for you, which, you know, I can't thank you enough. That was really nice of you to mention me.
No, not a problem. Yeah, it's a funny year this year, but I think generally, you know, like I mentioned earlier, having been doing this for a while, I'm more optimistic about films, certainly medium to long term survival, just because there's so many more people interested and there's so many things that look like are going to happen. So hopefully early next year we can talk again when I have some of my secret plans perhaps have finally seen the light of day. Yeah, a little longer.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. There's going to be so many plans put on shelf or ice till thaw next year, sort of thing, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. It's definitely the diary manufacturers better get going, because I think people are going to need better diaries for next year. Everything they couldn't do this year.
Yeah. Well, I wish you all success. I hope you still stay safe. And we'll look forward to hearing more as the years go on, mate. And fingers crossed the photo show will happen.
Yeah, it will happen at some point. It may be September. I think we just have to see how things develop in the next few months. And if not, I'm sure it'll be back at some point next year. And yeah, the my last sort of shout out would be for Hamish Gill for organizing the analog spotlight, which was going to happen. It was going to be the first analog spotlight at the photography show. They were really, really receptive to it, which is great that they were they could see it was something worth supporting. So it was a shout out to the guys at Future for seeing it was something worth doing, and for Hamish making it possible.
So it'd be more just shows it's people doing it, not companies, is it? It's
exactly.
It's a definitely small community of people. So thank you for, you know, being in that community though, Steve, and what you do. It's great.
Thank you. Always good to, always nice to hear it, because, it's film, selling people film it's quite a personal thing, because they use it to make memories out of. So it isn't just selling them a sort of faceless product. Everyone who buys it uses it for something quite personal to them, and it's great to see the results they get with it as well.
Right. Well, thank you for spending so much time with me. It's been really cool. I'll get this sorted as soon as I can for you. And I need to go to get sleep and get on with some work in the morning, mate. I assume same as you.
I've actually taken a couple of days off this week. I thought it was a good week to do it with a bank holiday, just to take a couple of extra days off. So I'll be thinking of you as you head off to work.
Walking upstairs to the bedroom.
that's everyone's commute these days.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it's great. Right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. You take care, Steve.
Cheers.
Bye.